Made it a half hour into today's program. Haven't yet mentioned the latest data we got on initial jobless claims. This coming, of course, ahead of tomorrow's non-farm payroll report. And we see that claims, continuing claims here, coming in at around 2.93 million. Obviously still elevated relative to where we were before the pandemic, but still seeing a slight decline in claims here, coming in a little bit ahead of where the street had been expecting. We see 385,000 on the weekly initial jobless claims. All right, let's stay on the earnings here, Brian Sozzi.
Sure.
You want to do Yeti?
Let's do Yeti.
Your friends over at Yeti?
Yeah, let's pull up the Yeti chart. Yeti, this is a name that you and I have talked a lot about through the years.
Well, I remember when they went public and you come over, you're like, Yeti. Yeti's I'm like, I don't get it.
The stock has gone up straight into the right since 10 miles.
I'm just saying.
We're seeing it down in the pre-market a little bit. Despite a very strong quarter, again, from this company, drinkware sales, that is basically cups, up 69% in the
very
most
nice quarter.
Coolers up 23%. Again, that is another nice quarter. Gross profit margins up 280 basis points. And that is really, really good when you're seeing significant inflation out of everything that is used to make their cups and their coolers. If there's any slight disappointment in this quarter, it is maybe cooler sales. But all in all, this was a good quarter. They raised their outlook. This is a stock that I would be surprised that will get defended by the street over the next day or two.
Yeah, I mean, the company comes out, raises its top line guidance. They're looking for sales to increase 26 to 28%. Had been looking for a 20 to 22% increase for its fiscal 2020. But its operating income, its operating income as a percent of those net sales, so margins basically, is holding steady, even with that sales increase. So maybe there's the lack of enthusiasm from the street today. You know, I look at a company like a Yeti, and I know where my mind goes. I feel like you're thinking the same thing. Company just came public, similar model, similar idea.
I said it at the time, and I'll say it again. They are the Apple of outdoor gear.
No, I think I'm thinking Traeger.
Oh, Traeger. You know,
like I'm thinking as in terms of a company's journey that you as a management team look at and say, I'd like to be like them. I think Traeger should look at Yeti and say, you know, synergies here.
Well, Traeger just needs some hipster apparel. I mean, to fill out that whole look, that whole Traegerhood life.
Yeah, well, it's been a very busy week for the private equity firms. They've all come out with their results. Wall Street Journal had a big story this morning about how good times are for shareholders, equity shareholders in these companies. Obviously, limited partners done very well for a long time. Maybe you take some of that dry powder, go out, put them together, mash them together.
Speaking of dry charcoal, there's Weber right there.
Weber, we're going to talk to the CEO coming up in the 10 o'clock hour, I believe, right around 10:10 or so. Weber ringing the opening bell here on this Thursday morning.
Company. Connected grill maker.
Connected grill maker. I have an unconnected Weber. It's great. Love it. Love everything about it. And I especially love that I don't use the app. So this really rounds out. So it's only August. What? It's August the 5th. So we still have a couple of weeks of summer here in the Northeast, about a month before school starts. But I feel like the Weber IPO brings to an end the summer of grills for investors.
Wow, August 5th.
With barbecue guys, with Traeger, now with Weber coming to the public.
Well, this is, I guess, a nice opportunity to wish my dad a happy birthday. I just realized today was August 5th. Big grill guy got me involved in grilling. So happy birthday to Andrew down in Florida doing
happy
his
birthday.
Thing. Maybe he's grilling right now. Maybe he's on a golf course. I have absolutely no clue. I haven't talked to him in a while. Anyway, so you have Yeti and you also have Wayfair. You're looking at Wayfair results too. And I'm surprised to see the market reaction here to Wayfair. It's one of those lone stay-at-home type trades that is getting embraced for its quarter here. And I can understand why. The number of active customers for Wayfair reached 31.1 million in the most recent quarter. That was up 19.6% year over year. I suspect that is the number the street is trading off here, especially stacked up against the likes of an Etsy or Roku, which are coming out over this morning really with not a good quarter and not good earnings calls.
Yeah, Wayfair coming out and talking about, you know, their run rate lapping the height of the pandemic, saying that the macro environment still doesn't give them a whole lot of certainty. But I think maybe the read through here on the street, and you look at the stock price over the last year, and there's obviously been a lot of growth baked into it. But maybe this is one of the more definitive. Okay, they did get set on a new trajectory, and longer term now, the opportunity for a Wayfair to gain share in the home furnishings market in a now growing market or a faster growing market. You know, it looks better today than it did maybe, you know, let's call it 10 quarters ago.
I always find this metric when they put it out there. Orders per customer, 1.96 compared to 1.89 last year. How do you order 1.89 of anything? It's either two or one. You know, I always laugh.
It's always nice when companies divide a metric by something that obviously has to be a full number.
Yeah.
You know, like, because, so like, take streaming hours, for example. streaming hours can obviously be any fraction of the hour because anyone can always come and go for streaming. But like for riders, you know, it couldn't be like, oh, someone took 2.6 rides per Uber, you know, which I know is a number that's in there that you could, you know, obviously do the division.
I hopped out of the car mid-ride, right, exactly. So they just cut my ride short.
So it is, it's funny to think about that. And it's funny to think about a 0.07, so let's see, a 0.07 increase in the number of purchases from a user. Mm-hmm. But obviously, the user can only make one or two.
Average order value for Wayfair, $278. That's a big purchase. It's a big purchase.
Have I ever spent more than $278 on Wayfair? I feel like that's the right number.
It's the right number.
Maybe, if anything, a little bit less than that. All right, let's keep going through some earnings here. Because last night, as we mentioned earlier on in the program, after the bell yesterday, it was an ugly scene for a number of companies. We've already talked about the sell-off that we saw in Uber. We saw a sell-off in Roku. We saw a sell-off in Etsy. And we also saw a decline in Fastly, which is a company no one really thinks all that much about, except when the internet went down a couple of weeks ago and everyone said, oh, it was Fastly's problem. Company comes out here, slight miss on the top line, slightly smaller than expected loss, but you go through the shareholder letter, let's find it here in the tabs. You go through the shareholder letter and clearly you've got some major problems here with the Fastly model. Now, this was a stock that at the time, Sazi, I don't know if you remember, everyone was like, oh, Fastly could take down the whole internet. They must be worth more than the, I think, $5 or $6 billion they were worth at the time. Now, with a 22% haircut on today's stock price, the company is now worth $4 billion. And some commentary here from Josh Bixby, the company's CEO, within that shareholder letter, talking about the outage, saying it resulted from an undiscovered bug, blah, blah, blah. We saw traffic volumes decrease and issued credits to customers following the incident. Given the usage-based nature of our business model, this resulted in an impact to our 2Q results, and we expect to see a downstream impact on revenue from the outage in the near to medium term as we work with our customers to bring back their traffic to normal levels. Everybody loves the SaaS model, usage-based. You use it more. You know, the net dollar retention for Fastly in the quarter is 126. Basically, we have customers, and our customers increase their spend at a rate that is more than all of the churn that we saw, you know, from anybody who came on and came off the system. This is why the companies all trade at 10, 20, 30 times revenue. But when you have a usage-based model and then your service doesn't work and then you say customers are still getting credits and they're not sure how much they want to use us going forward, it's not great. Well, let me give the stock's down 21%.
Absolutely. And let me give you my earnings analysis on this one. It's nothing because I can care less about Fastly. I'm more concerned.
I think we should care about Fastly. I think the takeaway from the outage is that we should care more about Fastly.
We should, but maybe not the earnings report. Well, I'm more excited about Yeti.
Care about Fastly.
All right. Fair enough.
You see, the stock is now down 40% this year. I mean, this, again, I think it also, I'm just going on and on here about Fastly. No one really cares.
On Weber IPO day, I don't care about Fastly.
I'm just saying it's also caught up in this trade of everything that has a SaaS model on it. They all trade at 20 times, you know, future revenues. It's all going to be great. Well, now we've seen the company run into a derating in the sector. That was the decline back in the spring. Then they had the issue with the outage. Now they have a bad earnings report. So the story for Fastly is certainly challenging.